How teams view quarterbacks definitely changes. Philadelphia and St. Louis pulled off a major deal yesterday when the Rams sent Sam Bradford to the Eagles for Nick Foles. Who won the deal? Anthony Stalter from 101 ESPN in St. Louis joins us now. Anthony, what was the reaction in St. Louis when that trade was made?
Well, guys, first of all, thanks for having me on. The reaction was absolutely positive. I would say 95, 96, 97% of the communication that we've had with text messages or phone calls or Twitter, whatever, was all positive. I think that a lot of people rooted for Sam Bradford. I don't think they want him to necessarily go out to Philadelphia and fail, but he was a massive dark cloud because of his contract situation, because of his injury history, and I feel as though, and a lot of people feel the same way, that the Eagles just flat-out handed them a get-out-of-jail-free card, and not only handing the Rams a capable quarterback in Nick Foles, one that won, you know, 10 games a year ago and led the Eagles to the playoffs, but the fact that he still has his same ACL is a win in its own right. Now you get a couple draft picks and salary cap relief as well. It's huge.
How much is Nick Foles actually only making? $1.5 million this year? What's the salary number on him?
That's correct. I think it's just over $1.5 million. It's like $1.53 million. And Sam Bradford was set to count about $16 million against the cap. So you could do the math on there. It's quite the savings.
Yeah, Anthony, I mean, you mentioned a couple of things that went into this deal, getting out from under the money. To me, though, and it seems obvious, you can't build around a guy who you fear is going to break down. And Bradford's a talented guy, but if you're not on the field, you're not talented.
No question. I think just having Nick Foles, and yes, he's coming off the broken collarbone, but compare it a broken collarbone to two reconstructive knee surgeries is really uncomparable. You can't do it. So I think with Sam Bradford, everybody saw the talent, everybody saw the skill set, the ideal height, the arm talent, and they thought, okay, this guy at some point, if he can catch a break, was going to turn it around and have a breakout year. But that was 3 years ago, and a lot of people were making excuses for him, myself included. He didn't have enough weapons. He didn't have the offensive line. He didn't have this, that, and the other thing. Then you see what Andrew Luck's doing in Indianapolis. He's elevating the talent around him. Sam Bradford almost seemingly had to have everything go right for him to succeed. So now you relieve yourself of that dilemma. And I've brought this up a couple of times. If you're the Eagles and Sam Bradford goes out there and has a good year, what do you do? Do you hand him another fat contract based off of one good year? So I think the Rams were constantly in a dilemma of how they were going to address the quarterback situation. And at the time, right now, you know, before yesterday's trade, the Rams were stuck because of the free agent options and where they were slotted in the draft. So this was really the best case scenario for the Rams.
Anthony, moving forward for the Rams to improve, you know, a lot of people will debate who's better as a quarterback. You know, Sam Bradford was a former number one, and everybody wonders if injuries make him that worse. But the rest of their team, because the Rams' defense is pretty good, does this make them in that pretty tough division? Like, are they closer to being a playoff team in your mind, or do they still need to shore up a few other holes if they want to compete in their ultra-tough division?
No, there's no question that they still need to shore up some holes. I think what this does to this trade is it gives them the flexibility not only to spend, but also when it comes to the draft. Now they have, instead of $3 or $4 million against the cap like they were at the start of the offseason, in the release of Jake Long and Scott Wells and Kendall Langford and now getting Bradford off the books, now they have over $25.5 million of cap space. They need potentially three new offensive linemen. So now they can go out there. They're looking at Justin Blaylock. Maybe they bring back Joe Barksdale, who's the right tackle. Maybe they go out there and sign a Steven Wisniewski, the former center for the Raiders. They have to address some needs along the offensive line. Nobody's going to put Nick Foles into the Hall of Fame here. I think everybody's excited, but they realize that they have to build that offensive line so that they can have a capable rushing attack. And if they do that, you know, Nick Foles isn't stepping into Sean Payton or Mike McCarthy's offense. It's going to be an offense predicated on the run and the play-action pass. Nick Foles is capable of doing that. he needs some help, too. And, two, when you look at the draft, if the Rams shore up some holes along that offensive line, then they go into the draft and maybe Amari Cooper or Kevin White or Parker from Louisville falls to them, and all of a sudden they have a true number one wide receiver to go along with their new quarterback.
Yeah, good point, Anthony. The thing, let me get your take on Foles. Is he a guy in your mind unquestionably that you can build around, or does there have to be a wait-and-see period? And that's assuming you've got to improve the rest of the team. No guy does it by himself. But what's your real take on this guy?
My take is he's a complete unknown. You don't know how he's going to be outside of Chip Kelly's offense. Chip Kelly's offense, while it's up-tempoed, he runs a lot of packaged plays, which means there's up to three plays in one. So the playbook isn't that complicated. He simplifies everything so that they can do a lot of the same things, repetitions throughout practices, so that guys are experts when they get on the field. So Nick Foles kind of ran a simplified offense in Philadelphia. So from that regard, you don't know how he's going to be outside of that offense. However, even if Sam Bradford goes on to Philly and he has success and Foles is a bust here, you still look back at where the Rams were just a couple of days ago. And again, that dark cloud, if I can use that same phrase, that was hanging over them. It's a move that they had to make. So while Foles is still, you're still kind of in wait-and-see mode, again, I'll go back to what I just said a couple of minutes ago in that he's stepping into an offense that is going to be simplified. It's going to be based around the running game, and it's going to be based off play-action passes. His arm is big enough to accomplish that. We'll see if he can cut down on some of the turnovers that plagued him a year ago and some of those inaccuracy woes as well.
Anthony Stalter joins us from 101 ESPN. Anthony, when Sam Bradford's healthy, how good is he?
That's a great question. I think that's a question that Rams fans have been dying to know since 2010. When he won the Rookie of the Year in 2010, Pat Shurmur was his offensive coordinator. Now Pat Shurmur's in Philadelphia, so you draw those connections and say, okay, if Bradford can stay healthy, Shurmur, he lines up perfectly. There's that match that you've been looking for. He's ideal. It sounds like I'm describing both guys when I say Foles and Bradford. Ideal size, good arm strength, good arm talent. The biggest knock that I had against Bradford, even when he was healthy, is that he doesn't take enough shots downfield. He kind of drew the nickname unfavorably as Captain Checkdown. He wouldn't take those shots. He would look constantly for his check down or his check release, and that limits you as a quarterback. Look, when you get into the playoffs, you have to have the ability to throw deep, unless you're Tom Brady and you're just perfect at your offense and you're executing the offense and kind of the crossing patterns and things like that. So that was my biggest knock. He was unwilling to take the shots downfield. And a lot of people point to the fact that he doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He doesn't have the high interception rate. Well, if you're only throwing 17 to 20 touchdowns, I would hope that your interceptions were low too. Drew Brees may throw 18 picks over a year, but he's going to throw for 35, 40 touchdowns as well. So I think that the turnover thing got blown up here. But you asked how good is he when he's healthy. He hasn't been healthy now in 2 years. Seven games over 2 years. He ran into all kinds of bad luck here, and I don't know if we'll ever see him healthy.
Yeah, that's the major concern, and obviously the Eagles. Did you ever talk to someone in Philly? Why do you think the Eagles made that trade?
I have no idea. We've been trying to figure this out now for the last 24 hours. I don't know what Chip Kelly has in store for Bradford. I don't know what he saw. I listened to the press conference today in Philadelphia, and he became very defensive when the Philadelphia media guys were asking him, well, why did you just trade for a quarterback coming off back-to-back ACL injuries? And he was defensive. Maybe Chip Kelly, who I don't think is a dumb guy, I don't know if he's a genius, but I don't think he's stupid, maybe he has something else up his sleeve that we're not seeing yet. But I thought there was no way that the Rams were going to find one capable team of taking on that contract and taking on that injury history, and lo and behold, Philadelphia was that team. So can Chip Kelly find two of those teams? Can he find one more team to maybe get up in the draft and draft Marcus Mariota too in the process? I don't know. As of right now, everything on Philadelphia is saying that Sam Bradford is their guy. I have no idea why they would acquire Sam Bradford, give up Foles, and then on top of it, give up a second-round pick in 2016. It makes no sense to me.
Anthony, it was an interesting start to the free agency, and I'm sure we'll see a few more moves between now and the end of the NFL draft. Quickly, in 30 seconds, what are the Rams? What's the number one position they're going to take in the first round?
I would say if they don't address the offensive line, they'd probably go with either an offensive guard or offensive tackle. There's been some connections with Brandon Scherff out of Iowa. If not, I know they love their wide receivers, but if I were in the room and Amari Cooper fell to them, I would snag the Alabama wideout in a second.
Appreciate the rundown, Anthony. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.